This morning to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. I do want to say happy Father's Day to all the fathers in here, or the young men who will one day be fathers. I just want to say happy Father's Day to all. And you know, I think that one of the things this world, especially this country, is lacking on today are good men that are being the fathers they're supposed to be. And I think that some of the reasons why we have the problems that we have in this country is because a lot of the fathers aren't being what they need to be, and a lot of the fathers aren't being men. Okay, now I'll just say that, and I'll leave it at that. But I do want to say I'm thankful for the fathers that are here today. And so if you would, there in Luke chapter 15, look if you would, as soon as I get there. I'm always the last one to get there. You ever notice that? But Luke chapter 15, look if you would, starting at verse 11. Luke 15, verse 11. Now, we know this story. Now, this is not a new story to anybody in here, but I'm hoping this morning that we can look at it from a little bit of a different perspective than what you're used to looking at. In Luke chapter 15, look if you would, starting at verse 11. It says, "And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger son, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divideth unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servant, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry." Let's pray. Father, again, I thank you, Lord, for just allowing me this morning, Lord, just a few minutes to preach your word. And Lord, I pray that it will not go on deaf ears this morning. Lord, I pray that everybody will hear the words that are spoken, Lord, and let them just sink down into their heart. And Lord, I pray this morning that if somebody needs to do something, Lord, to make things right with you, I pray that they'll do that. If there's something in these people's lives this morning, Lord, that shouldn't be there, or things that need to be there, Lord, I just pray you'll speak to us this morning, Father, and help us to be attentive to your word, Lord, and be willing to do what it takes, Lord, to please you, Lord, as you are so gracious to show us our faults, Lord, when we look at the scripture, and Lord, that you show us the areas where we need to work on in our lives. And Lord, help us not to be hard-hearted. Help us, Lord, to be humble and just to be hearing your word, Lord, and be willing, Lord, to do whatever it takes to please you this morning, Lord. If there's somebody here that's not saved this morning, Lord, I pray this morning would be the day that they call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. Lord, I pray you just bless the message now, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I was this past week, I was thinking about Father's Day, and of course, today being Father's Day, it's a strange thing because Father's Day today, this year, fell one day after my daughter's birthday, okay? And so it's kind of, in our family, it's kind of well overshadowed, okay? But, you know, I was thinking about Father's Day, and I was thinking about, you know, my children and what it means to be a father. And I remember my very first son was born. And by the way, I was talking to my daughter last night. We went to the ball game, and she turned 13 yesterday. So now, I have no more children that are not teenagers. That are less than teenagers. Put it that way, I have no more children that are less than teenagers, and that has not happened to me in the last 26 years. Okay? For 26 years, I've had somebody younger than a teenager until yesterday. Okay? And I don't expect we'll have any more. Okay? And I was thinking about that and just blew my mind. But then I started thinking about when this whole thing got started with me becoming a dad for the very first time. And I remember my oldest son, Cody, when he was born, he had the little cone head. And, I was holding him there. And he was a big child. I mean, he was 10 pounds and 10 and a half pounds. And I remember I was sitting there holding him. I'd never been a dad before, and every dad in here knows what I'm talking about. You know, I mean, I held him for the first time. I'd never been a dad before, and I remember he had this little thing that they put, the little cap that they pulled on his head, and because he has cone head, I'd pull it down and go, whoop, and he'd go back up, and I'd pull it down and go, whoop, and he'd go right back up, you know. And he was just the cutest thing in the world, and I remember that when they put him in there with all the other babies, I mean, he looked like a teenager compared to all the other ones, you know, because the rest of them were like 7 pounds and something here. He was a 10 and a half pound boy. And, you know, and I was thinking that that when other people were looking in there at these babies, I just knew they were looking at mine, amen, and admiring him, okay. But I couldn't believe I was a dad at that point. And in many ways, I was nervous because in my mind, I wasn't really sure I was ready to be a dad. I mean, I was sitting there holding him. I'm thinking, boy, what a responsibility. And I began to think about how I was going to provide for him and how I was going to teach him and how I was, you know, what a great responsibility it is to be a dad, you know. And I was thinking to myself that it's no longer just Tammy and I. It's now the three of us, you know. And then, of course, the other children came along. And, you know, they aren't much, but you know, I love them anyway, man. No, I'm just kidding. You know, they came along And I learned quite a bit, even more about being a dad, because I'm just going to tell you, you learn a lot about being a parent with one. You learn a whole lot with being a parent once you get more than one. Amen. Okay? And so Blake, Caleb, and Emma, they came into our lives, and responsibilities grew, and food bill grew, and everything grew, and I became a dad. And I think that over time, dads, we learn. We learn how, and one of these days, Lord willing, we'll learn to be a granddad too. But you know, I think as dads, we learn, but I also think that as dads, sometimes we let our guard down when it comes to spiritual things. But I want to remind you this morning that there is an adversary out there who wants our children and wants our grandchildren, and he's very good at what he does. He's been tempting grown-ups now for 6,000 years. And has been tempting young people for a long time, and he's deceived many people. And there are a great many temptations that our children go through today that, be honest with you, I never went through. There are things that our young people face today that we didn't face when we were young. Now, I'm not saying we didn't face things, but it just seems like it's either more or a completely different set of things, but it just seems like they're under a whole lot more pressure than we were. And be honest with you, if you think about it, the world that we grew up in is not the same world today. It's not the same. So there has to be a continued investment in our young people and our children. And as dads, we are to never let our guard down. We must never let up when it comes to training our children spiritually. We must never stop bringing up our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, because the day is coming when our kids are going to leave the home. And they need to be prepared to face the temptations of this world, and that is our responsibility as parents. Now, as a church, you know, we want to help parents, we want to encourage our parents, we want to do everything we can to help them out. We come alongside of the family, but the burden of responsibility is to the parents. And I can look back and I can see that there were things that I should have emphasized more as a dad, and there were some things that I overemphasized that I probably shouldn't have emphasized that much. But basically, as I was raising my child, I was learning how to be a dad. How many of you dads understand that, you know, you learn to be a dad just as much as the kids learn to be the kid? Amen. I mean, we do. We learn as we're going too, and I'm still continuing to learn. Okay, and so I learned real quick that every child that God puts in our lives are totally different. Totally different. The way I raised my first son, the way he was, is not even close the way the rest. Everyone are just totally different in the things that they like, things that they don't like, their attitude, everything's totally different. And it's the strangest thing because they all grew up in the same household. They all were basically taught the same things. They were raised by the same parents, but yet they're still so different in many ways. And I just like every adult in this room, they all have different levels of spirituality. And because of that, we sometimes have to adjust our tactics as parents in order to meet our kids where they're at spiritually. We have to adjust our approach to each child based on their level of maturity. And we see this taught really in the story of the prodigal son. You'll notice that there are two boys inside this story, and they're totally different. Okay, you have one that stayed there, one that left, one that still remained faithful to the father, one who didn't and blew his whole inheritance. Again, you see that right here in this passage. Now, when it comes to this passage here of the prodigal son, we've often heard it preached on, and usually the thing that's preached on is the mistakes that the prodigal son made in life. And that's true. When we see him, I mean, you can't read that story and not understand that this young man made a very big mistake. And there, you know, he got to the point where he saw his mistake, and he went back where he started. He was a young man who had reached the age to be on his own, and so he asks his dad for the inheritance, and he leaves the home, and he blows all of his inheritance on what the Bible calls riotous living. He was living wrong. He was into sin. He was doing all these different things. We are then told that this young man began to reap what he had sown, and after the inheritance was lost, he ended up feeding the hogs and would have even ate the same things the hogs ate, but the Bible says he came to himself, meaning that he finally came to his senses, and he returned home. So there's a lot we can learn from the story of the prodigal son himself. We can also learn a lot in the story from the prodigal son's brother. When the prodigal son returned, we see the brother of the prodigal son getting jealous because they're throwing him, you know, they're feeding him the fatted calf, and they're putting a robe on him, putting a ring on him and everything. And so the son in the story, he looks and he sees all the things they're doing for him, and he's saying, "Wait a second, Dad, I'm the one who stayed here faithful. I'm the one who did what I was supposed to do. And he comes back and he did wrong. And look how you're treating him. How come you didn't treat me that way?" And so, I mean, I could preach on that this morning, and that would make a sermon just on the prodigal son's brother. But this morning, because it's Father's Day, and when I looked at this passage, I was trying to look at it from the view of the father in the story. And I want us to focus on the father's story because there's a lot for us as father and as parents, a lot of things that we can learn from him and from some of the things that he did. Now, just like it is with us, the father of the prodigal son did not have a perfect family. How many of you understand there are no perfect families? The Brady Bunch is a myth. Amen? Okay. There are no perfect families. There are no perfect church families. Why? Because there's still sin in this world. Okay. So there are no perfect families. Now, if we were the writer of the Bible, you know, one of the ways you know that the Bible is definitely God's word is because the Lord tells it like it is. Right. Amen? Amen? He tells it like it is. He doesn't try to sugarcoat anything, doesn't try to hide anything. If we were the writer of the Bible, perhaps we would have written this parable with a father whose children turned out perfect, children who always did what the father wanted them to do, and they were always in line. But that's not what happened in the story of the prodigal son. This story is a story of a son who completely goes off the rails and did some things that I'm sure that broke his father's heart when he left and blew all of his inheritance with riotous living. And so there are a few things that we can learn from this story from a perspective of the father of the prodigal. And the first thing I want you to know or to learn in this story is this, and that is the father in this story provided the things his son needed in order to be successful. The father provided things for his son, that the things that he needed in order to be successful. Now, how do we know that? How do we know he provided the things for his son? Well, notice that after the prodigal son had left his father and brother to live riotously, and after he had lost everything, he's sitting there among the hogs, and he begins to think back about how things was when he lived back at his father's house. Look, if you would, there at verse 17. It says, "When he came to himself, he said, 'How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger.'" So he's sitting there and he's thinking, he goes, "Here I am, I'm with these hogs, and I'm hungry, And I really don't want to eat those husks over here that are sitting here for the hogs. And so he starts to think back the way he had it when he was living with his dad. And he was thinking, man, even the servants were able to eat and they weren't starving. And that didn't even count in how much food that I had when I was there. And he starts thinking about all these things and remember how good he had it at home. And he was remembering how he never hungered for anything when he was with his father. And the picture that we get from this text is that the home that this boy took for granted was really a home that many children in this world today would give anything to have. I mean, that's the home that this young man had, the home that he had left. And the father took care of his children, and there was always food on the table. And also the father provided his sons with a good home. This was not a house of turmoil. This was not a home where the dad was an alcoholic. It was not a home where the dad was abusive. It was a home where all the boy's physical needs were met. It was also a home where a good work ethic was taught. In verse 25, you'll see the boys were raised working in the field. So a good work ethic was taught there. Not only that, but it was a home where the boys were taught to obey their parents. How do you know that? Look at verse 29. And notice that the other brother answered his father saying, "Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I any time at thy commandment." So these boys were trained in the home to obey their parents. Notice in verse 13 how the prodigal son had to leave his home in order to experience riotous living. What I'm trying to say is this: he couldn't experience riotous living at the home. Why? Because his home was a righteous place to live. It was a wholesome place to live. It was a godly home. But this boy took all that for granted. He took it all for granted because he longed to get out on his own and experience the wickedness of this world. This young man had looked at the world so much, and he was so fixated on the things of this world so much that he'd become blind to actually what he had at home and how good it was there at the house and the things he actually had. The reality here is that his father provided everything for his boys and everything that they needed to be successful. Now, I want to say this to all the dads and the grandfathers in here. None of us are perfect. None of us are. But the Bible tells us the kind of home that we are to provide for our children. And the Bible tells us how to raise our children. And I want to encourage you to do your best to raise your children the way the Bible tells you to raise your children. Listen, God knows more about raising children than anybody. He's the one who instituted the family. He is our Heavenly Father today. He knows more about being a father than anybody does. We're not perfect. He is. And so what we need to do is we need to be the fathers we need to be. We need to raise our children according to what the Bible tells us how to raise our children. And listen, we're not perfect. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to learn as we go. Amen. But the best thing you do is stick with what the Word of God says. And so do the best at raising your children and helping out with your grandchildren and teaching your children according to the Bible. Keep providing your children a godly home that they can live in. If they've already moved out, make sure you provide a godly home that they can come back and visit. Okay? That's something we're obligated to do, and we're obligated to do our best. The father in the story provided the things that his son needed in order to be successful. And then the second thing I want you to notice about the father in the story of the prodigal son is not only did he provide the things that his son needed in order to be successful, but the father also recognized his son's free will. He recognized his son's free will. In Luke chapter 15, look if you would at verse 11. It says, "And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me,' and he divided unto them his living." Now I'm sure that the father knew that his son here was getting ready to make a big mistake. I mean, he knew. But obviously this boy was old enough to be on his own, and he was no longer required to live at the father's house. And so this father at this point, he was at the point where he understood that his son had a will of his own. And it had come to time for his son to make his own decisions in life. Now, that's one of the most difficult things to accept. That's one of the things I'm learning right now. Very difficult for me to accept is, you know, as parents, we see things and we see dangers, the dangers that we faced when we were young. And we see these things out there. And we see our children, you know, sometimes we'll see them going away they shouldn't go, or going towards something that we know is a dangerous thing to do, and we want to say, don't do that. You can't do that. But you know, once our children reach a certain age, they have to start making decisions on their own. They have to, they get to the point to where they have to make their own decisions. And you know, we need to recognize that when our children get old enough, as hard as it is to let go and let them make their own decisions, hey, if it's up to me, I'd make decisions for my kids until they're 90. I would. Amen. Problem is, we can't do that. Can't do that. Listen, we have to, at some time we have to let go, and that's a hard thing to handle sometimes. You know, when they're still living at home, we can still make the rules, and we can stop them from doing things and hanging around people and from going places we know that that'll lead them into temptation. But they're not always going to be in our homes, unless we start a compound. I mean, maybe we do it that way. But you know, we often forget that our children will one day have to make their own choices in life. And though we have the experience of knowing the things out there, we have the experience of knowing the paths that they shouldn't take and the things that you should never do. Once at the end of the day, once they're on their own, it's their decision to make. It's their decision to make. And you know what? I was told a long time ago by a friend that's very dear to me. He said, you know, your children are going to make mistakes just like you made mistakes. And you got to be able to let that happen. Listen, I hear people say all the time, I don't want my children to have to go through what I went through. I hear people say that. And I understand when people say that. But you know, sometimes the children need to go what we went through.
Amen. That's right, brother.
Because that's the only way they're going to learn the things that you know today.
Right.
Sometimes we just, as much as it hurts as parents, sometimes we just got to let them go through the things and face certain things, because that's how they get experience and that's how their faith grows. And so often I see fathers who you know, have a hard time letting go. Maybe I'm one of them. I see fathers who try to run their children's lives after they leave their homes. I see fathers who try to live their own lives through their children after they leave home. And I even see fathers trying to control the will of their children after they're on their own. And it's almost like we've become Calvinist parents. Okay, we try to control the will of our children. But we cannot control the will of our children once they leave home, no more than our Heavenly Father can control our will.
Right.
Now listen, if God can control your will, you would do the will of God every single day of your life.
Amen.
And nobody in this room does that. We've all been a prodigal at some time. We've all gotten away from the Lord at some time. We've all did things that disappoints God at some times. Listen, God doesn't control our will. God doesn't make us do everything He wants us to do. He's not going to make us do anything, but He's going to tell us this is the right way or the wrong way of doing things. But at that point, it's our decision. What are we going to do?
Amen.
And it's the same way with our children. And you know, it may be very well that our children may one day fall into sin, and maybe they'll get away from God one of these days. And we pray that won't happen, but we know that's a possibility. And there are some people today that will say, well, you know, if you raise your child the way the Bible says to raise your child, then they'll never get away from the Lord. And some will even try to use Proverbs 22:6 to prove that. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6. I want to show you this verse because, you know, so many people teach this thing out of context that it's brought more guilt upon parents than just about any verse in the Bible, because it's not generally taught right. People will say, if you teach them according to the Bible, I guarantee you that your children will turn out right. There are no guarantees on that. There are no guarantees. Now in Proverbs chapter 22, look if you would at verse 6, look what it says. It says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now here's what a lot of people will teach on that thing. They'll say, if you train up a child according to the way the Bible says you're to train up a child, then when your child, when he grows up, he's going to get saved, he's never going to fall into sin, and that child will never get away from God. That's what people say that verse teaches. But listen, folks, that's not what that verse teaches at all. This verse says nothing even close to, you know, that how a person will never, you know, if you train them up right, they'll get saved and they'll never get away from God. Don't even talk about that. There are people who got saved. Listen, how many of you know there are people today who got saved who lived in a house to where their parents never did go to church? A lot of people got saved. They came from broken homes. They came from homes that where there was alcoholism and there was godless homes where people never went to church. They never talked about the Lord or anything, but yet the children got saved and started serving the Lord. How many of you know that's true? Okay, listen, not every child gets saved in the church with godly parents. We wish it were that way, but that's not the way it is. Some do, but others don't. And so this verse mentions nothing about departing from the faith. You say, well, what does it talk about? It talks about departing from the things that the child has been taught. It's teaching that after you've trained a child in the way he should go, and that child grows up and gets on his own, he can't depart from the things that he was taught as a child.
That's right.
He may choose to do wrong and do things he was taught better than to do, but he's going to know, at least when he does something wrong, he's going to know he did something wrong because he's going to remember what mom and dad told him, the things he ought to know better than. That is what this verse is teaching. In other words, if you teach them these things, he's going to remember him, and when he gets older and he decides that he's going to get away from the Lord or decides he's going to reject Jesus Christ, he's going to know because he's going to remember the things that were taught to him when he was young.
That's right.
That's what it's talking about. But there's no guarantee that he's going to do right. Why? He has to make his own decision. He has to make his own decision. All of our children, when it comes to salvation, everybody must make that decision on their own. As Christians, when our young people, when they grow up and they're on their own, they've got to make the decision. Am I going to come to church on Sunday? Am I going to read my Bible? Am I going to pray like I was taught to pray and read my Bible and to come to church when I was young? Am I going to do that? It's their decision. And the Lord isn't going to make them do it. But as parents, we're obligated to teach them the right way. So at least they'll know the truth and know what they ought to do. That's what that passage teaches. And I tell you this, folks, as much as we'd love to make decisions for our children, we can't do it. As much as we love them and want to see them saved and serving the Lord and being faithful, they're the ones who's going to have to make the decision for themselves to do those things. So what can we do at this point? The same thing we should have been doing all along. Praying for our children. Praying for our young people. Praying that they'll, if they're not saved, that they'll get saved. Pray that if they are saved, they'll keep on serving the Lord and walking with the Lord and staying in church. Even after they leave the house, that they'll keep coming. And I'm just going to tell you, when you look at America today and you look at Christianity today, folks, I'm just going to tell you, I think that you can't blame it all on the parents because everybody has to make their own decision. But when I look in churches today and I see less and less and less young people, I wonder sometimes, are we really doing our job like we're supposed to be doing as parents? The father in the story did his best for his family. He provided everything he could for his boys to make them successful. The father in the story recognized his son's free will. And then the third thing, the father in the story was there for his son even when his son had done wrong. In Luke chapter 15, look if you would at verse 20. It says, and he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. Notice here in these verses that the father knew what his son had done. You say, how do you know? Well, he didn't have a robe on anymore. He didn't have that ring on anymore. Obviously, he got rid of those. He hawked them somewhere to get something to eat. He knew that his son had lost so much, and he knew that his son had made some big mistakes. And notice that his father didn't get up in his son's face and say, you know, Dad ain't so dumb after all now, is he? If you listen to me from the start with, none of this would have happened to you, son. No, he didn't get up and say that to this young man. He didn't say any of those things. He didn't try to rub it in his son's face. He just had compassion on him. And he ran and fell on his neck and kissed him and welcomed that boy home. The father here, he was there for his son, even though his son had done wrong. May I give you some advice this morning? And that is that we, as fathers, as parents, we need to encourage our children along the way. And always be there to give godly counsel and direct your paths back to the Lord. And when, you know, when they move out and they're on their own, always be there for your children. Always be there for them. To pick them up when they fall. To comfort them when they mess up. And, you know, and to be with them when they have to reap what they sow. I'm telling you, folks, as young people, we went through it. And I'm thankful that I had a dad that was there for me. When I messed up, when I got in trouble, when I did things that I shouldn't have done, I listened to his counsel and I went and did it my own way. And when it cost me, when I was reaping what I'd sowed, my dad was right there. And he never got in my face and said, "Well, now you should have listened to me. You'll listen to me next time now, won't you?" No, he didn't do that. He was right there for me. And you know, I want to be there for my kids. You should want to be there for your children. You know why? Because they're going to mess up just like you did. Amen. They're going to mess up just like you did. And they're going to need somebody. They're going to need somebody to talk to. They're going to need somebody to be there. And there's so many, because of egos and pride today, listen, there are children I know today and young people I know today that can't even go talk to their dad because they don't want to have to face them after they make a mistake. And so, the story of the prodigal son here is, in my opinion, probably the best story of a dad in the Bible. In fact, I'm just going to tell you that in this story here, it's probably the best dad in the Bible of any parable that's found. And the reason I say that is because in this parable, the dad actually represents our Heavenly Father. That's the reason I say he's the best dad. Because this father in this parable here of the prodigal son represents the Lord, our Heavenly Father. And just as the father of this prodigal son provided everything his son needed to be successful in life, God, our Heavenly Father, has provided everything that we need to be successful in His eyes. He gives us His Word, His godly counsel. He teaches us how to live life to where we will enjoy joy and peace. That's what He gives us. In 2 Peter 1:3 it says, "According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to His glory and virtue." That's telling you this, that God has provided you everything that you could possibly need in order to live a life that's godly and to please Him. He's given you everything. He's provided everything that you need in order to be successful, just like the father of the prodigal son. Also, just as the father of the prodigal son recognized that his son had a free will. May I tell you today, God understands that we are His children, and He's our Heavenly Father, but He also understands that all of us have a free will.
That's right.
Now, God's will is, listen, God's will is for you to do what He tells you to do in that Bible. Why? That's the thing that's going to keep you out of trouble. That's the thing that's going to keep you on the right road. The same way as a father, I see problems out there. I see things out there in this world, and I see traps, and I see a bad direction that my kids can go, and I see all these things. And what I'm trying to do, I give them advice, and I say, "Now listen, you don't want to do this, and you don't hang around that guy, and you don't want to do this." And I'm telling them these things. Why? To keep them out of trouble. That's what God does in His Word. He does the same thing. He tells us these things. But listen, my children still have to make their own decisions. And I've given them warnings, but yet they'll go and do the things that, anyway, what they want to do. And at the end of the day, I can't stop them. I can't stop them. You can't stop them either. And God's not going to stop you. Listen, He tells you the right way as your Heavenly Father. And by the way, He's a better father than anybody in here. He tells us the right way. But He also knows that, you know what? Now, I've told Bob not to do that. There goes Bob doing it anyway. Same thing happened to everybody in here. He understands you have a free will. God's not going to make you do anything. He's not going to make you do anything. Listen, He's not going to make you get saved, but He sure wants you to be saved. He knows you have a free will. He knows everybody has to make a choice on their own. He's not going to make you do everything. He knows that His children are far from being perfect, and there are going to be times that His children are going to go off on their own and make mistakes. But really, the thing that stands out more than anything else about the Father in this passage, which shows a whole lot about our Heavenly Father, is just as the father of the prodigal son was there for his son when his son had done wrong, when we mess up and get out of fellowship with our Heavenly Father, if we'll just come to our senses like the prodigal son did and turn back to Him, He'll always welcome us back.
Amen.
He'll always welcome us back. He'll always forgive us, no matter what we've done. He doesn't hold anything against us. After we return back to Him, instead, He's ready to give us another chance. And that's the kind of father I want to be. When my son messes up, I want to be there for him, and start giving, keep on giving good advice, and just pray that he won't make another mistake like that and move on. Amen. That's what God does for us. He knows that we're not perfect. He knows we're going to go out there and we're going to make mistakes. He sees the dangers out there, and he sees us walking right toward him. And in his word, he said, listen, don't do those things. Don't hang around those things. Don't have fellowship with those things. Don't go to this here. Don't do this. And he has that word. And listen, he knows that you're going to go out there and do it anyway. He even knows what you're going to do tomorrow and the next day. But every time that you've ever messed up and you got away from him, all you had to do is just humble yourself and come back to him and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I did these things. And you know what the Lord's always done for you? He's always welcomed you right back in. Amen. Here, that prodigal son's dad goes, he's back. Put the robe on him. Put the ring on his finger. Kill the fatted calf. Let's have a dinner. Let's celebrate. Now listen, this morning, if you've gotten away from the Lord, this parable is about a son of a father who got away from his home and got away from his father. But he came to his senses and he came back. His father welcomed him back. This parable is showing us and the relationship we have with our father. I'm going to ask you this morning, if you have gotten away from the Lord, maybe you've gotten to the point where I don't know if you're out there having riotous living, but certainly you could have left the place that you once were. Maybe you are not as close to the Lord as you once were. Maybe you're not as much fellowship with the Lord as you once were. The question this morning is this, if that's you, will you humble yourself? Will you come to your senses? Come to yourself. Understand what you gave up when you got out of fellowship with the Lord. You remember when you were in fellowship with the Lord? You remember the joy that you had on the inside? You remember the peace that you had on the inside? You know, when you're sitting there and you're hungering for that, and you remember how good you had it back in fellowship with the Lord, won't you just come to your senses and get back in fellowship this morning? Won't you just come before the Lord and confess what you've done? And if you'll do that, the Lord will say, back in the fellowship we're going to go. And He's going to rejoice that you come back to Him. Are you willing to do that this morning? If you've never been saved, I'm just going to tell you the greatest father in this world is not your father if you're not saved, but he can be if you'll receive him this morning. If you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior this morning, you can have the greatest father that there ever can be. Amen. And that is God the Father. Amen. And you could be his son. Boy, what a thing. Especially to do on Father's Day. If you're not saved this morning, will you be saved? And if you're not living right, if you're out of fellowship with the Lord this morning, will you come to your senses and get back into fellowship with Him? Let's stand.